Nah, you'll see my lifts. They give me a couple extra inches. You're like, so I've been talking about my... I'm 4'11". My name's Christian. I'm an alcoholic. You like that one?
We love you, Christian. Lots and lots and lots.
Is this a phone? Yep. How much time? Perfect. Am I allowed to click? Amazing. Thanks, guys. It's it's good to be here. I've done a few pitches, but I've been the young people speaker at like roundups, but I've never been like a speaker at a YPA, so it's definitely a little there's definitely a little more energy in here and things like that, which is good. The guy yelling, he's gone, but thanks, man. You're doing great. You know, where would we be without you tonight? So yeah, hopefully. Thank you, Drew. Drew and I are homies for a while. So I don't know why he said, I've known him 5 years. I don't know why he's making that up. I've known him 5 years. We go way back. Our dad's together in the thing. So that's funny. He's like that, Drew. Silly Drew. but yeah, it's good to be here. Okay. I don't know why I'm laughing. I think it's just because I, like I said, I've done a few pitches, but it's always so serious and stuff. And you guys are just ready for a good one, you know, just ready to party. Do you guys want to play some Mafia later? Is that okay? Cool. I do enjoy some Mafia. I would like to do that. All right, my 7-bride date's 5/25, 2018. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. okay, so I do, yeah, so 5/25/2018, I can't decide if I want to, like, start hammering the big book, you know what I mean? I got fucking sticky notes here in the pages that I need, hey, you're back, we were talking about you while you were gone, we said the number 10 so many times for you, All right. This isn't a comedy show. Enough laughing. It might be. So I can't decide if I want to just start going in on the big book and like reading these lines and being like, this word means this and here's why. Or just kind of tell you my story, or really, it's going to be hopefully just like my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous, but most importantly, kind of like... a lot of the stuff that like I didn't know that I needed to know in order to stay sober. I think like a lot of the growth, here we go. All right, a lot of the growth in AA, but we'll kick it off and we'll see what happens. I'm 27. I've got 5/25/2018. Just to get current with you guys, I do have a sponsor. Was on with him earlier. He was yelling to me about Al-Anon stuff and yeah, alcoholism and stuff. And I'm like, I'm in Iowa, dude. Just chill out. but he keeps you know what I mean, the fire on me. And I talk with him weekly, right? And really, like, if I'm getting current with someone about like AA, it's like Recovery Service Unity. Like that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. It's not a meeting. It's not. One that's like Recovery Service Unity. So when it comes to recovery, that's like me doing the steps in this book with a sponsor. Unity is, I mean, it comes in a few different ways, right? You get a lot of it at conferences, the meeting before the meeting after the meeting. Maybe you got a good group of AAs you hang out with, but that's like the fellowship, right? Like, am I tuned in with the fellowship? And then service, right? Could be coffee at the home group, could be on a YPA committee, could be a lot of different things. So I don't have too much unity going on right now because I'm sitting in Florida waiting to move back to Arizona, and I moved to Florida, and then I was like, I don't want to be here, so I'm going to move back to Arizona, and then I was like, well, since I'm moving back to Arizona, I'm like not going to do any AA while I'm in Florida because it's all just waiting for me back in Arizona, so I've just been sitting in Florida. But, you know, I got a couple service positions. Got a home group waiting for me back in Arizona. But we're definitely in a transition here. But I think for me, I think I kind of started like experiencing alcoholism, which is just this like crazy in my mind, right? From a pretty young age. And yeah, it was I don't know, this girl held hands with a guy and it when I was in like the second grade, and it just fucking pissed me off so much, dude. Like, fuck, man. I was so pissed. Oh, and I always tell this story because, like, that same voice in the second grade that just said, like, what the fuck? Just like, well, I'm sorry, my language, I'm sorry. I was just like, what? And I just, like, my skin started to crawl, my chest started to hurt, and I couldn't really breathe, and, like, everyone was, like, looking at me funny, and I was looking at them funny, and this is, like, the second grade, and I just, like, got really, really disturbed. Right? And it was just like, give me some alcohol right there in the second grade and I would have been undisturbed. Like, that's how alcohol treats alcoholism, right? It's very simple. It's like kind of maladjusted to life, misperception on life, this kind of like selfish set of attitudes and perspectives in the world and its people, and it plagues me. I'm completely cut off. Like, I'm not, like, spiritually sick. The book just says we're blocked, right? So it's just, like, the sunlight of the spirit, God, spiritual principles, purpose, meaning, spirituality. Like, I'm blocked off from all of it, you know? And then along with that, when I put alcohol in my system, I have this physical allergy where I just, like, want more and more. And it just turns out that, like, the one thing that I have a physical allergy to also happens to be the one thing that, like, treats my fucking crazy so well. So isn't that just, like, a perfect blend of, like, insanity, you know? Yeah, and I always find that very interesting, you know? Like, I'm allergic in some pretty deadly ways to the one thing that just makes me feel okay. And, like, that's why our friends die. You know what I mean? It's like, sorry. Like, that's just the truth. Like, it's a very sick and twisted little little thing we got going on here, you know? Little thing. So I got it. Maybe you guys do. I don't know. It's called alcoholism, you know? So I've got this crazy in the mind. Spirituality really helps, but I'm blocked off from it, right? And then the one thing that helps almost as good as, like, spirituality is, like, alcohol and drugs, which turn out to be really bad for really bad. Turns out to be really bad for us, both in, like, a normal sense, but also, like, we have this allergy where, like, I'm going to go rob my mom now so I can have more. You know what I mean? So it's, like, this is a pretty messed up thing. And what I learned, what I thought coming into AA was, like, I'm going to find some hope. Actually, that's what I wanted to give people. There's actually, I'm sure some of you guys have seen those shirts, like, not a dope dealer, but a hope dealer. Lame. It's actually interesting. Like, I shouldn't really be looking for much hope in AA. Because, like, there's not, like, don't get me, and that's not to get confused with the chapter, there is a solution. Like, there is a solution that is, like, point blank period. Like, if you have what I have, there is a solution. However, like, hope is not what's going to get me to that solution. It says, like, very clearly in the book, it says, I opened up right to it, okay? none of us liked self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, blah, blah, blah. Like, it names off all these things from the steps. Like, none of us liked it, right? But the process requires it for success, right? None of us like to do it. So then, like, why would I do this thing, right? It says right here, we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we've been living it. It's not like because our sponsors instill so much hope in us that we can do this and it's going to be okay. And now I'm going to do a fourth step. It's like, oh, my God, like, I will die. Like, I'm going to drink and die, right? So I'm in the second grade, and I don't know any of that. I'm just fucking pissed. And I continue on with that perspective and that insanity and just like, I don't like my parents at all. I don't like the teachers at all. Eventually, like school counselors and therapists get involved. I don't like them at all. The cops start to get involved. I don't like them at all. Alcohol gets involved. I like that involved. I got to drink for the first time, and my shoulders relaxed, you know what I mean? And just my smile came on my face, and like you guys were having a better time, and I'm having a better time, and it's just like, it works. Like I don't, you know what I mean? I could drink today, and it would work. Like it would be a solution to my alcohol, not the solution, but it would be a solution to my alcoholism. And that's a really important thing is the fact that, bless you, the fact that like the alcohol's not the problem, you know, the alcohol is a really good solution to my problem. Very, very good solution. Right. So from that moment on, for me, what it looks like is like I kind of subconsciously, or you could call it like my mind, just the mental obsession, was just like, I'm going to manage my life in any way, all the way to unmanageability, right? But I'm going to manage it in any way to get more alcohol. Like, that's pretty much, like, why wouldn't I do that? You know, it just was very like, I could continue with life without alcohol, or I could kind of do whatever's needed to get alcohol. And then, like, life will be better, right? So it's, like, it's very, like, simple in my head, right? What really made a difference was the first time I drank by myself. I was like, oh, I don't need to, like, meet up with people and share and stuff. Like, I can just get drunk by myself. Like, it was, you know what I mean? It's, like, more medicine for me. This is great. So it, like, starts to progress, and I'm just, like, convinced that my parents' money is mine by birthright, so I'm just going to steal it, you know? Like, my blood, I have your blood, so give me your money. apparently, my friends, too, their drugs are also, like, by mine, apparently. So I'm, like, robbing people and, like, failing out of school. And then, like, I moved to Japan when I was 7. And that's when a lot of the big people started to bother me, like, the fucking therapists and the parents and... Like, they kicked me off the bus, and I'm, like, traveling through school. You see, and this is, like, the maladjustment to life. And keep in mind, like, this maladjustment to life, it will remain after I get sober. I go to treatment, and I'm sober. I'm still maladjusted to life, and I better get adjusted quickly, or I'm going to drink again, and I'll explain that later. But, you know, but then I was 9 years old, and I moved to Hong Kong, and that's where, like, that's where we're at now, and Robin, and blah, 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 blah. And, it was good. I mean, we were going, you know, we like ticked some boxes, right? We got the hospital in there, the police, the drinking age is like 18 there, which means like it's really like 16, which means like if you're lucky, it's really like 14, you know what I mean? So like we're able to kick it off when we need. My favorite is like when I woke up on a boat in the middle of the ocean and I was like, oh shit, how did I get here? This is so crazy. Like the hangover type of shit, you know what I mean? Like I loved feeling like I was like in the hangover, you know? And then my parents were like, this is ridiculous. Cause my school was like, he can stay with us, but he's got to repeat his junior year. You know, my parents were like, leave this city, please. So they left, they kicked me off to Florida. I went to Florida, I went to a boarding school, same old stuff. Like just suspended a bunch of times from there. And I tried to like flush a bottle of cough syrup down the toilet, and it clogged the toilet. And I went into the bathroom one day, and the toilet was gone. And I was like, "That was me! Fuck! Oh my god! Shit!" And then I went to university for a year. I was able to graduate because it was just like a very easy boarding school and whatever. And university was good. Got arrested there, and. I'll talk about, this is kind of like what happened. That's like what it was like. And I really want to touch on like what it was like. That's just like all the drinking and stuff and like the crazy, right? But like really what it was like is like the second grade when that crazy voice hit. And like from then on, like I don't trust anyone. Like I'm alone and afraid, trying not to be alone and afraid. You know what I mean? It's, like, very simple. Like, that's how I'm going to function in life from second grade all the way to whenever I got arrested, right? Actually, even into sobriety as well. Like, I'm alone and afraid, trying not to be alone and afraid, thinking I can unalone and afraid myself. And obviously, like, the only thing that's really working to help with this alone and afraid and this, like, anxious apartness and this separation is the alcohol and the other little things too, you know? Like, that's the only thing that's working. So when my mom tells me to stop drinking, I throw a rage fit and put, like, holes in the wall, right? And I just think I'm insane, but it makes sense now, right? Because, like, imagine if I went up to someone who was, like, plugged into medicine, and I was like, dude, like, cut your life source, bro. They're going to be like, why on earth would you tell me to do that? Like, that's what you are doing when you tell me to stop drinking, right? You're telling me to, like, stop the only thing that's keeping me going, right? So what's super crazy is we get sober, and we stop the only thing that's keeping us going. And that's, like, crazy to me. Because essentially now you're in, like, a window of, like, you're either going to find something that's a substitute and better than alcohol. You're going to think you've found something. And that's a really dangerous place to be. You think you've found something that's a substitute and better than alcohol. Or you go back to drinking, right? I think we call that a relapse, right? So that's like, I don't know. It's crazy. But that's what I did. Like, I did have a moment of clarity. I think that's kind of like what happened. Like, we all, it sounds like such an insane tornado. Like, how does anyone get sober if, like, you're totally skewed and messed up in life, and you have this voice in your head that just drives you crazy? You can't connect to anything in your life. I can't connect to you. I can't connect to God. I can't connect to the ground, spirituality, anything, purpose, right? I got this crazy voice in my head that just says, drink, drink, drink. It doesn't always say drink. It'll say, like, rob your mom, right? But that's so that I can go drink. And I just do exactly what it says. And then when I do drink, phenomenon of craving, right? I have this allergic reaction. And it's like, how do you get out of that cycle? I think it's, like, different for everyone. And really, it's not about getting out of that cycle. My sponsor says, like, anyone can stop drinking. Like, go punch a cop. Like, you'll stop drinking for 2 days, right? Like, any one of us can stop drinking, right? But, like, how do I stay stopped, right? Like, how do I stay stopped? So I did stop drinking because of the cops. They put me in jail. So there you go. A couple days, nothing crazy. I'm not crazy. But I stopped drinking. And then I don't really know. At this point, like, we all have a different story. Like, we all have a different thing. For me, it was, like, just, like, a moment of clarity where my parents were like, yo, you can go to treatment or you can fuck off. Like, up to you. And I was like, all right, I'll F off. And then I was like, well, maybe. Okay. That's pretty much what my moment of clarity, that's, like, pretty much, like, why I'm sitting here with you today. There's a lot of other things, but I pretty much just said okay. Like, just kind of, like, I was just like, I'll take the hit for a few months, you know what I mean? I'll kind of, like, do what's necessary to just, like, chill things out and, like, kind of make things work a little bit. So I went to treatment. I was in Thailand for treatment, and the reason I went there was just because I wanted to go back to Hong Kong, because that's, like, what I knew and where I wanted to be. That's where I grew up, and so I was just like, mathematically, Thailand is closer to Hong Kong than where I'm right now in Florida, so I will go there. And I'm like, I'm a genius, you know. So I don't know. From there, like, at this point, I'm sober, right? Like, this is it. I'm sober. So how did I stay sober? Well, there's a few things. I will be honest, like, my first step early on was pretty, like, just kind of like, I'm an alcoholic. Like, I get it, you know? I get what these people have. Like, I don't want to be such a piece of ass, but I am. And sometimes I'm swearing and sometimes I'm not. And I'm like, what, I got to pick a lane here. can I swear? Is that okay with you guys? Are you going to get it? All right. I know you're fine with it. I know you're okay with it. So I'm just like, I'm a really bad person. Like, I'm really mean to my mother. Like, that's messed up. But I don't want to be. This was kind of like a moment, right? I don't want to rob my mother and make her cry in the middle of an airport because whatever, another story, right? I don't want to, but I keep doing that, and I don't know why. And that, like, that kind of hit me as like a recipe for maybe something's going on. Like, if I'm continuous, because it wasn't about the drinking. If you tried to talk to me about like drinking, I would have been like, just stop. Like, the alcohol, I get it. Should I drink less? Maybe. Is it just, you know what? Like, it's just, I couldn't even wrap my head around the idea of changing anything with that. But I could wrap my head around the idea very logically of just like, do you want to like rob your parents of money once a week? And I was like, I mean, I like don't want to, you know, like I guess that's whatever. I don't want to, right? It's like, okay, well, why do you do it? I was just like, I don't know. Like, I guess I need money. So I just do it. But I don't really have like a good reason, right? Like, that's like not like a good reason. And then it was like, so I don't want to do it. I don't know why I'm doing it, and I can't stop doing it. And that was just like where I realized like maybe there's something going on here, you know? Like, maybe there's something going on in my life where like I'm not really in control here. Oh, I think we call that powerless, right? Like, maybe there's something going on where like I'm kind of like I'm not in charge here, right? Like, something else is going on. And I was like, okay, like, I guess I'll listen. Like, I guess I'll take, it just kept me open-minded for like another day or two. Like, that's all it did. I was crying. I was so sad. In all honesty, if you asked me like the next day, like, oh, are you going to stay sober? Like, are you in on this thing forever now? I would have been like, I'm just like, I'll drink on the weekends in 6 months. Like, whatever, man. If I never had a big awakening of like, I'm going to stay sober forever, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like, I just have like, I'm willing to do the next action, you know, that's it. And then I end up moving to Arizona because I'm like, I got to go back to school. I should work. Like, I'm kind of like maybe 20 years old at this point, 21. It's like, let's do something. I'm sober. I don't mind it. Right. And I start, that's when I really like get into AA and people start reading the book with me and I start to learn more about alcoholism. And that's pretty much like, I don't know, that's probably the most important thing I've ever done in my entire life is like learn more about alcoholism, right? I mean, listen, all the other steps are great, but like they all sit upon step one. And if my step one is like this big, then this is all the space I have to like do the rest of the steps, right? Like, I really need a strong, large, foundational step one. And if I don't, like, the other steps are kind of like, they're just going to be watery, you know, they're just going to be water loose. And I learned like that alcoholism, like, didn't have much to do with alcohol. Because I started reading the actor's opinion, or what the fuck, the actor scenario. Excuse me. I'm going to share a lot of opinions tonight, all right? I started reading the actor scenario, and I was like, oh, this is how alcoholism manifests, like, in my life today, right? This, like, like, if I'm sober, how is alcoholism going to show itself? That's, like, what I started to learn, right? Because I thought you get physically sober, and then you just kind of, like, life's going to get better, and things are going to make more sense, and you're going to get the good jobs, and blah, 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 right? But then it's like, I'm sober, and now someone's showing me how my alcoholism will still manifest, even though I'm sober, right? And I'm yelling to him about my roommate who's, like, not cleaning up, right? Or not whatever, whatever. And he's like, oh, well, look at the actor scenario. And it's like, and I read it, and I realized, like, oh, that's right. Like, I set the scene. I, like, set the whole apartment so that he can put his thing here and that thing there and that thing there, right? And when he comes in, he better put them right where the open spaces are. And then he didn't, right? So now I'm disturbed. And in my head, I'm like, this is a him problem. Like, why is he doing this? But I realize, like, I'm the one who set the stage. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, like, is that alcoholism, right? I'm so grateful that, like, he looked at me and said, yes. And I was like, okay. Because, like, today, I'm always willing to have it be alcoholism, right? I mean, listen, I get a lot of calls from a lot of people, and they're talking a lot about them, right? just this with the thing at the work with the way the da 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 da. And it's for me, if everything is always their fault and all of that, I'm gonna drink again. Like, I just don't know how to put it any other way. And this is, I'll tell you why I'll drink again, basically. Because I'm gonna continue to live the life as the actor, playing God, right? As the show continues to not go off, I'll continue to become more resentful. These resentments will block me off from a power. That power is the only thing that's keeping me sober, and then I'm gonna drink again. Like, it's a very simple equation, but like, I don't believe you when you tell me that. And you guys probably don't believe me when I told you that right now. And it's like, it's something that like I had to experience. Like, I had to experience the power go away. So pretty much, we're gonna talk about power all night. Let's go, okay? So this is what powerless means, right? There's two types of powerless. When I drink alcohol and I start to drink more alcohol, that's because like I have a physical allergy. And I have an abnormal reaction, which is like I drink more. It's the same way, like if I eat some cashews and I have an allergic reaction, I'm gonna have a breakout in like hives or whatever it is, right? So the phenomenon of craving is the allergic reaction that I have, right? And I'm powerless over that allergic reaction happening, right? But I'm also powerless over taking the first drink, right? And I think a lot of the times what we do is it's like, let's say if we're in a step one meeting, it's time to talk about how powerless I am when I take the first drink. But like, that's not the issue. Like, the issue is that when I'm sober, I take that drink and I think I'm choosing to take the drink. So it's very simple, right? If I relapse, right? I had a relapse about a year in, I drink a cup of Kratom, whatever, right? If I'm under the impression that I chose to relapse, that I chose to go and drink, that I chose to do that, then I'm basically telling you that like I have the power of choice. And if that's the case, this YPAW, AA, it's just not for you. It's just not for you. This is not the place for you. This is a place for people who do not have a choice. So if we're under the impression here that the last time I drank or the blah, blah, blah in my drinking days, or for me, a really good example is I remember I was like, I was a junior in high school or whatever it was. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to wait 3 days to drink. And in those 3 days, I'm going to get into business. I'm going to finish these classes. I'm going to reach out to these teachers. I'm going to do these things for my parents. Like, it was just like very, very simple that like, I'm going to do these things and I'm just not going to drink for the next few days. Right. And I just remember here, like, it kind of feels like a train coming towards you. And you hear it in the background. It's like, and it just comes and it hits you. And I'm just in this strange mental blank spot where, like, I don't want to go and drink because I just decided I was going to stay sober for 3 days. Yet I'm going, I'm taking the elevator downstairs, I'm abandoning all the decisions or resolutions I just made, right? So if I'm under the impression that I'm choosing to drink, then it's very simple. For me to stay stopped, I just have to choose not to drink anymore. It's very simple. Like, you don't need AA. Like, you don't need a God. You don't need a power to keep you sober. You can keep yourself sober. You can choose not to drink. I'm not trying to kick you out of the room or anything, but I just want to be very clear. Like, Alcoholics Anonymous is a place for people who don't have a drink. What are you playing over there, buddy? All right, what you got going on over there? Huh? and it's like, Christian, stop spewing a bunch of shit. Who told you that? That's not true. My sponsor told me I don't ever have to drink again if I don't want to. So I do have a choice in this. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm just saying, it says right here, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. It's just that simple. Like, I don't understand. So I'm just going to say it, okay? If we're telling people you don't have to drink again if you don't want to, we are lying to them and we might be giving them misinformation on what alcoholism is. Because it's very simple. If I didn't want to drink again and that's all I needed to do to not drink, then I'd be sober forever. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? This is a very simple thing, is like, I'm powerless. If I'm stone cold sober today, I'm powerless over the mental obsession, right? It says, we are without defense against the first drink, right? So I don't have any defense, right? I don't have any power. I don't have any say. And if I really realize that, I'm on step two already. I'm there. Oh, yeah. Because basically what I'm telling my sponsor is, I'm saying, well, what the so I'm screwed, is what you're telling me. I'm screwed. Like, I'm going to drink again because I don't have a choice. And I'm it's going to rocket me right into the question of, like, well, where's the power then? Like, where do I find a choice? When do I get a say? You know? And it's going to rocket me right into step two. But it really does have to come off of this deep realization that, like, I'm going to drink again because I don't have any choice in the matter. I don't have any say. I've lost the power of choice. And when I drink again, it triggers a craving and a phenomenon that, like, I could end up dead. I could end up hurting you. I could end up, you know what I mean? That's when, like, the physical allergy starts, right? But the powerlessness is today. Like, I do not have the power. I don't have the choice in a drink today. And that's going to rock me into step two. I'm going to be like, holy shit. Where's the power then? Like, what am I going to do? And, really the question of step two is like, am I, it's not really where is the power. Like, we'll get into that in a second, but it's like, are you even willing to believe that there is a power? You know, that's like the step two proposition. Like, am I willing to believe that there is a power greater than alcohol? Because that's the thing, like, I need something better than alcohol if I'm going to stay here, you know? Like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't find a sufficient substitute, right? And I think, like, our kind of go-to is to look for those substitutes in, like, the job or the girl or the car or the thing or the this or the that. And when those substitutes don't work as well as alcohol, I'm going to go back to alcohol. So it's a very, like, pragmatic thing. You know what I mean? It's like, I've got a problem that's just banging right here. Alcohol solves it right here. Like, the girl solves it here. The car solves it here. The job solves it here. So, like, I'm going to go to the girl. Like, I'm going to find the thing that treats me the best. It's, like, very, very simple. So, like, if I don't find something better than alcohol, alcohol's right there. So the whole thing is like, okay, so I need to find something better than alcohol. Really, the question is, like, do I even believe that there's an experience and a power greater than alcohol, right? And then if I'm able to say yes, then it'll tell me right in the book. It'll say, well, then we emphatically assure you, you're on your way. That's it. That's all. And then the sponsor's going to ask, are you willing to make a decision now? You know? So you think you say you have no power. Your life is unmanageable. You want to find this power. You believe the power is out there. Like, are you going to make a decision to take the action that, like, puts you in a relationship with this power, right? The third step is not turning my will and my life over. Just be super clear on that. My will and my life does not get turned over in the third step. All I do is just, like, make a decision to do the actions that end up with my will and my life turned over. It's kind of like if I decide to, like, bake a cake doesn't magically appear. I've just decided to make the cake. I've decided to, like, do the actions, like, go to the store and bake, you know? So it's just like, am I willing to make a decision? And I got hung up on the third step for so long because I was like, I'm doing the third step. Like, my will of my life is turned over. And finally someone was like, no, you don't turn anything over in the third step. You're just, like, deciding to do the actions, you know? Like, go do the actions. And then it's like, well, what are the actions? It'll literally tell you right there. It's just like, next we launched on a course of vigorous action, and now we're on the fourth step. But I think for me, for a really long time, I was hooked on this idea that, like, step one was just like, I can't drink again, you know, like, I can't drink again. And to me, that just implies, like, I have so much say in the decision. And the truth is, like, I don't have a lot of say in this thing. Like, it says in the book, like, the main problem that centers in our mind, you know? And that's really, like, what I suffer from today. Like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, The maladjustment to life, like the problem that centers in my mind. I mean, I wake up in the mornings and it's ready to go. You know what I mean? It's got a plan for every single one of you. It's got a plan for me. And I'm going to listen to it if I don't listen to something else. Like it's right there. So that like mental obsession part of alcoholism for me is like very prevalent. Like that's the thing that's going to make me drink again today. You know, the bottle of alcohol is not going to like grow legs and shove itself in my mouth. You know what I mean? I wish, you know what I mean? The action. yeah, you like that? There we go. Are we here? Are we still awake? Yeah. The bottle of alcohol is not like going, it's not going to grow legs and hop into my hand, but but my mind will put me in a strange mental blank spot. That's what it says in the big book. And that's like what I'm powerless over. That's what you should fear. We should all be terrified. At any moment, we can have a strange mental blank spot, and I'll pretty much just strange mental blank spot, black out, and I'm at the bar and I'm drinking again. Like if you don't have that experience, you need to reflect back on your life and see if you have that experience. Or at least see that I'm truly an alcoholic. I have alcoholism, and that experience will come. Like, that's what it's asking us in this first step. They go over, like, 40 pages or more in the big book about the first step, and it's just, like, I became terrified that, like, oh, my God, at any moment, I can just enter a strange mental blank spot, like Jim or whoever it was, one of those, Bob, Jim, Fred, it's one of those names, you know? Like, at any point, I'll just enter this spot, because I've entered it before. That's why. I've entered it before, where I enter this strange mental blank spot. I kind of like blink and it's like, holy shit, I fucking did it again. You know what I mean? And I didn't even want to. I didn't even think I was going to. Who fucking knew? But I drank again, you know? And when I step into AA, the best thing someone can do to me is say, yeah, and guess what? It's going to happen again. Not, it's never going to happen again. You're safe now with us, right? As if this fucking random guy is going to keep me safe from my alcoholism, right? You know? The best thing my sponsor could ever do is say, it's going to happen again, Christian, you know? Like, I really do need to find some hopelessness, but we're going to move on from all that. I've really been harping on it, but it's just the best, you know? It's the only thing that's going to keep me sober is realizing I'll never stay sober. Like, I don't know. Anyway, that was a weird one. But it's true. It's true, man. Like, and what I've realized today is once we really get that sobriety part down, my mind is gonna start to like hit me with other strange mental blank spots. Like, I don't know if you've ever like blanked out and it's like, did I just argue with my mom for an hour? Like, how the fuck did that happen? You know, in my world, in my view, like, spoiler alert, that's alcoholism. And there are tools that we have in this book that we can practice that, like, maybe I only argue with her for 30 minutes, right? But like, the truth is, like, my mind, the mental obsession, the problem that centers in my mind, like, I better get real clear that that's there, right? Like, if you don't think you have a mental obsession, a problem that centers in your mind, a voice called alcoholism, I mean, I don't know what you have. You don't have what I have. But, like, that is the thing that creates the strange mental blank spot. And I realized it's very cunning and baffling, as our book says, right? It's very cunning and baffling because pretty much it wants to manage me back to a drink. You know what I mean? Argue with your mom. Forget that friend. Go do this. Don't do that. Go here. Don't go here. Do this. Spend that money. Forget that girl. Be with this girl. Do this. Do that. It's like pretty much just like the full management cycle. And all of those things cut me off from like a power that will like keep me sober, right? A power greater than alcoholism. And I think that like for me today, the way I see being like in a recovered state is really like being on those steps 9, 10, 11, 12, right? So If I really have alcoholism and I have this like crazy voice in my head that's going to say drink, but maybe today it won't say drink. It'll just say don't go to the meeting, right? Or maybe today it won't say drink. It'll just say I'll call your sponsor tomorrow, right? I mean, if I think that the only thing the mental obsession says is drink, then like I need to learn more about alcoholism. And that's what I really like. Like, I don't really like giving a pitch because I like to sit down with people one-on-one and like talk more about alcoholism. Because like it was broken down to me in my experience so effectively and so clearly, like that's like the freaking lifeblood of this like program is like when I just let's just sit down and talk about alcoholism, right? And learn more about alcoholism. It's really hard to grasp in like a general way of just some dude yelling like, "Your mind's after you, your mind's after you." You guys are like, "What the fuck, bro? Shut the fuck up, man." But like, I promise you, it is. Let's hang out after. I'll tell you why. But let's assume it is, and it's like, oh my God, I need a power. Like, where's the power? My sponsor says, well, do you believe in a power? I say, I do. Okay, cool. Are you willing to make a decision to take actions that end you up like in a relationship with it? And I say, okay, I'm gonna make the decision. Well, let's affirm that decision with a prayer, the third step prayer, right? So I've made the decision. I affirm it with these words in the third step prayer. And it actually says right after the prayer, use whatever words you want. You know what I mean? You don't need to do the theys and the these and the thys and the whatevers, right? So I've made a decision that I'm going to take the action. And it's like, well, what now? I'm launched on a course of vigorous action in the fourth step. Well, what's the point of the fourth step? It says so clearly, all it is a fact-finding, fact-facing process to just show me the things that are blocking me from the power. And it's like, when I start to stall on the fourth step, I start to think I can stay blocked from the power and stay sober. You know what I mean? It's always just going to like come back to one. So I grind through this fourth step. And then the fifth step, it says very clearly in a couple lines, like we share every dark corner and cranny, right? In the fifth step. There's probably like four or five people on the planet that know every single fact about me. My sponsor probably knows like 80%. And then like, there's like two or three other people. Like there's not a single piece of information in my life that is not known by another person, which is like very powerful. And that's the fifth step. And I've had times where I wake up one day and I'm like, holy shit, nobody knows this about me. And I will go and tell someone, be like, hey, this is a fifth step, you know? So like, if you get it all done after you're four, cool. But, you know, if we want to stay sober and we want to stay unblocked and connected to the power, like, I don't know, go tell someone, you know what I mean, if you're holding on to the five. And then six and seven, I mean, listen, I'm just going to make it super clear here. I'll just make it super clear. My defects are not for me to work on. I just don't know who came up with this idea that like I'm gonna work on my defects. It says very, very clearly. Step six is we were entirely ready to have God remove these shortcomings, and seven is we humbly asked Him. It doesn't say anywhere start working on your defects of character or shortcomings. It just says get entirely ready and ask. I'm sorry, but like if I could stop lying, you don't think I would have done that back in step two? You know what I mean? Like if I had the power to change myself, you don't think in the second grade I would have done it? You know what I mean? So stop pulling defects out of a little cup in the morning and working on them, okay? Because you can't, okay? I'm sick of it. Stop it. Stop telling people to do that. That's not six and seven. I don't know who made that up, but put the cups away, throw them away, okay? All right, it's just we became ready and we asked, right? And I'll be honest, a lot of six and seven is going to happen in, spoiler alert, eight and nine, you know what I mean? So I have a list. I make a list. I get a large amount of it from my fourth step, you know what I mean? Pretty much all of it, it says. But I have had people that I've wrote on my eight that weren't on my four. And then nine is crazy because this is how I did the nine step. Blah, blah, blah. I wrote out the names, and then I went to mom and dad, of course. We got to get back in their good graces, right? Went to that one X, went to the, and I went to, like, the heavy hitters, and then I just forgot the nine-step existed. Like, forgot all those names existed. Then I thought the 10th step was the nightly inventory, and then, yeah, I bet a couple of you do, too. and then the 11th step was just like try and rip a prayer in the morning. You know what I mean? Just if I could rip one, cool. And then 12 was like get a sponsee and show him why I'm God. You know what I mean? Like that's how we're gonna do the steps for about 2-3 years. Okay, that's like 8 to 12, right? And what happened was I was doing that, and I was like, this ain't too bad. Like mom and dad like me. We're getting good grades, we're working at Sonic, we're going to school, like life was moving on. There was this girl I was hanging out with, and like, don't get too close, but don't get too far. And also like, I'm gonna see other people, but if you do that, you're so fucked in the head. Right? And I'm just like, I remember literally thinking to myself, like, why do people have troubles with relationships? Like, it's not that hard. Like, just go exist and it'll all work itself out, right? And pretty much I was coasting, right? But I really thought that like I was just, and I was talking with Drew about this 5 years ago when we first met, and it was like, I just thought like the growth was gonna come to me, right? Like I'm just gonna get more mature. I'm just gonna, all the stuff, and that's not what happened. I actually was horribly, horribly dependent. Like my well-being was dependent on everything external, the main thing being the girl. Because keep in mind, at this point, like I've lost, a couple friends have died, but like the parents are good, the siblings are good, the money's fine. Like I make money, my parents like help me with rent. Like I just don't have many things to like attach the crazy to other than a female. So that's what it attached to. And I didn't realize until she said, hey, I'm moving, there's another guy, like I don't buy. And I was like, whoa, wait, you are supposed to stay right here, not too close, not too far, and no other guys. I don't have to follow that. But like, you know what I mean? And keep in mind, I'm not aware that this is the reality that I'm living in, right? That's the biggest thing about alcoholism, is it's going to put me in this reality, but it's not gonna show itself to me. And then when the shit hits the fan, and the job disappears or the girl disappears, I realize how horribly dependent I was on it. And then all of a sudden my heart's ripping open and I'm like, what is this pain? Like, what is this? We're not supposed to feel like this in sobriety. And so I'm listening to Mark H. and Joe H. on speaker tapes, just blasting them in my ears because I can't stand the crazy going on in my head. I can't stand the pain. I mean, I'm like probably 3 times a week at work going into the bathroom and crying just because I'm in so much pain. And it's like crazy alcoholism, self-imposed pain. And this is when I really started to realize like alcoholism will really rip you from the inside out and not even let you know it, that it's doing it. Because mom wasn't sick, dad was fine, money's fine, I got a job, we're grinding away at school, all of my friends, like there was nothing, you know what I mean? And this is when I realized that like these external things will not keep me okay at all, because all the external things were okay, but the one thing my mind decided I needed to be okay went away, and I was like, holy shit. Like, I realized how fragile I was. Like, I have no foundation in life. Like, something goes wrong, and I'm losing it, and I'm in so much pain, I finally understood why people relapsed. I was like, oh, this is why people relapse, because I'm dying. I feel so much pain right now. And a drink would be so good. Like a drink would solve it. You know what I mean? And I think that's really what I learned, was like I was living a very fragile life. You know what I mean? Like anything can kind of piss me off. Anything can go wrong. And I used to think I get sober and I get the spiritual armor, right? And nothing's going to bother me. And I realized that, no, there is no armor, you know? So then I tried to get the spiritual armor and I couldn't. So now I'm like trying to just get a God shield and I'm so fragile. And finally I learned that I wasn't doing the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, right? I was trying to just rip a prayer in the shower. Didn't know what a 10th step was. And that's one of the 12 steps. There's not many. There's not like 100, like there's only 12. So you better not miss one. I had a 9th step that I was sitting on and never finished. The 12th step was just like get a sponsee and show them why I'm right. The 11th step was, you know, so then I finally learned, because my sponsor and Mark H. and Joe H. YouTube videos, Bill's letter on emotional sobriety, and a few other things, and I learned, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, we alcoholics are undisciplined. It's very, very simple. Like, when's the last time I actually committed to something and stuck to it? You know what I mean? We like to get in these little spurts, and we like to have little realizations. And, oh, my God, that meeting was so good. But, like, it doesn't change anything in my life. I don't do anything different. Like, I don't create a meditation practice because that meeting was so good. I just, like, feel good for a bit. And that's pretty much, like, what it is. It's just, like, I just want to feel good for a bit, you know? And, like, I'll go talk to my sponsor and have him say really cool stuff so I feel really good for, like, a couple days, right? But, like, am I gonna do anything with that to, like, build a relationship with a power? Like, no. Just, like, I'm just going to ride that high of you saying things that gave me goosebumps, you know? So what I realized was, like, I need a relationship with a higher power. And really what I need is, like, a foundation for life. Like, I need an unshakable foundation for life. And it says very clearly in the 12 and 12 that we build this unshakable foundation for life when we logically intertwine steps 10 and 11. It doesn't say steps 10 and 11, but I'll show you why the words mean step 10 and 11. Whatever, right? And it's also in step 10 and 11 in the 12 and 12. And I realized that the 10th step was not the nightly inventory. It was at the bottom of page 84. The 10th step was something I'm supposed to do throughout the day. It's not another inventory. That's just working on a fourth step with my sponsor. It's not the nightly inventory. That's the 11th step. The 10th step is literally just throughout the day when these crop up, dishonesty, resentment, fear, when these crop up, I ask God to remove them at once. We discuss them with someone immediately. We make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone, and we resolutely turn our thoughts. Like, it's literally just like a very simple few set of instructions for throughout the day when resentment or selfishness or fear crop up. I never knew that. You want to know how I was going about my day? It was just like, you know what I mean? But I didn't think I was doing that. Like, I thought I was living life. Great. Like, I just thought, you know, and I was like, wait, why didn't anyone ever tell me that there were like instructions for things to do throughout the day? And they're really hard to do. Like, it's really hard to be like, I am resentful. Ah, I will ask God to remove it. God, will you remove it? Ah, now I shall call my sponsor and let him know that I was resentful. I asked God to remove it. I am telling you. It's like, that's super, super hard. You know what I mean? But what I can do, and it says right here at the beginning of all those instructions, is that my fucking time? Whose fucking timer is that, dude? Because we'll wrap it up real quick. So what I can do, right? That's a lot of instructions. It's actually four sentences, but like for us, that's like a tall order. You know what I mean? But the first three words I can do, it just says continue to watch, right? So I was listening to Mark H. and Joe H. And Mark H. was just like, go to page 84, go to page 88, and pick out a couple words and sit on those for a month. Like, continue to watch, right? And I was like, oh, this is how I build a relationship with a higher power. It's not like go to my sponsor, have him tell me some cool shit. I feel good for a little bit. That's just a feeling, by the way. That's not God, you know. That's not some relationship. That's just me feeling good, no different than taking a drink. I was like, oh, this is how I build a relationship with a higher power. Like, I got to be a student to this book. That's like literally it. That's the recovery side of the triangle. It's not a meeting. Like, unless it's a really good meeting and you guys are like doing things in the book in the meeting, like then it's, but this is literally the recovery side of the triangle, right? And what I've learned was like, I need to be a disciplined, and that's right out of the book. It says we alcoholics are undisciplined. We let God discipline us. I need to be a disciplined student of Alcoholics Anonymous because I desperately need a relationship with a God that I can trust in all my affairs. If I don't have a relationship with a God that I can trust in all my affairs, I'm not going to be connected to a power, and I need a power greater than alcohol. And it's not just that, but like I need an experience greater than alcohol. You know what I mean? Like and this weekend we're going to have an experience greater than alcohol, right? And hey, yeah. But what am I going to do on Monday? Am I still going to seek an experience greater than alcohol? And you guys can point, you tell me if you have found an experience greater than alcohol that doesn't include like the triangle of AA, right? If you've found it in a car, please let me know what car, so I can purchase this car. And this car will be my permanent experience greater than alcohol, that I will no longer need alcohol because I have something better, right? There's a reason why we went from like beer to vodka, because the vodka was better, right? There's a reason why I've gone from vodka to God, because God solves it better, right? If you've found something other than that's within the triangle of AA that is an experience greater than alcohol, I would like to know so I can acquire it and I will utilize it. But really what we need to ask ourselves today, like what I really hope we all ask ourselves is like, where am I seeking an experience greater than alcohol where there is none? You know what I mean? Like where? And because I'm doing it, guys. I'm doing it. You know what I mean? I'm talking like just sick in the head. Like, you know, like I need this female to be okay. And if not, like I will down a pack of cigarettes in a 12-hour period. Like, no fucking question. Like, let's go. You know, sig for sig right now. You know? But like, so we've got the triangle of AA, and what I realized was like I'm so willing to be a student to this thing again. Like I'm not going to sit here and like coast, you know, because I've felt the pains of alcoholism when nothing's going wrong in my life. It's just the self-imposed crazy in my head that's insane, you know. I actually like, and this is gonna sound crazy, I can handle like a family member dying better than a breakup. I don't know if like you guys relate to that, but like, and this is gonna be black, and I'm gonna rip it. Are you ready? I'm gonna rip it. I can handle my mother dying. I'm sorry, Mom. She's alive still. Better than a breakup. Like I swear, like I have. Like one of my closest friends died, and I'm like, oh, damn, this, you know, and I trust God. But like a girl breaks up with me and I do not trust God in the slightest. Like we need to look at that because that's fucked up and we need to figure out what that is. Like that's some pretty crazy alcoholism, you know? So I was like, okay. And this is like, the question is, if you even care about half a thing that I've said, you're going to say like, well, what does it mean to be a good student to the triangle of AA, right? Like that's like when I start actually asking questions to my sponsor, right? Rather than just being like, yeah, Rick, okay. You know, when I'm like, wait, what does that mean? How do I do that? How did you do that, right? So, but I'll tell you, no one asked, but I'll tell you what it is for me to be a good student of AA. It's actually super, super simple. It's the same way to be a good student in life. So like you show up to class, it could be like the meeting, could be your meeting with your sponsor, could be with the sponsee, right? But like I show up to class, I help other students, you know what I mean? You guys, we help each other. I do the homework, the step work. I take notes. I started like taking notes while I was meeting with my sponsor. I look back on them like months later and I'm like, I have no fucking idea what we were talking about. But like in the moment, taking the notes helps me have an experience with like what we're talking about, you know? And I just was like willing to be a little, what are those students in class that are like nerds, I guess, or like narcs or like teacher's pets? Like I was willing to be a little bit of like a teacher's pet in AA. Like, I'll write some notes down when I talk to my sponsor. I'll ask a question to the sponsor when he says something. You know what I mean? I'll read a couple pages of that interesting book that I feel like I connect with spiritually. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to do that because I don't want to die of alcoholism. Like, it's such a crazy proposition, you know? So I think, like, at the end of the day, I've realized that, like, there is a solution, but it's not really like readily available to me. Like I have to be willing to like be a student and work for it and be disciplined. And it's very difficult. Not because the actions are difficult, but it's very hard when you have a mind that's like yelling at you not to call your sponsor. Like imagine if you had a disease and that disease was yelling at you to not call your doctor for some advice on what to do because your hip is flaring. Like that's what we're dealing with here, you know? But I think for me, I've begun to trust like the actions and trust that like a relationship with a higher power is a greater experience than like listening to my mind, you know? And I do hope that like, I do, okay, I'm looking for like the best way to end it here. Oh no, all right, we're gonna find it though. But we'll find something, you know. We'll look for it because it was a God and the 10th step and blah, blah, blah. But no, sometimes I end it so well. It's like, boom, boom, boom. Thanks for letting me share. And now it's like, you know, all right, we'll read something from the book. That always works. No, this one doesn't have the stories in the back with the fucking thing. Oh, you God. Bitch. All right, well. Let's see if we'll find something good. Here we go. The great fact is this. This is original. Nothing less. That we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. So thanks for letting me share. I hope we play some amazing Mafia. It's going to be great.